the host of Locked On Giants podcast, Patricia Traina. Patricia, how are you? And thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing?
We are doing great. We are very nervous about the our beloved New York Giants this season. Trying to find the glass half full. How right now after the preseason and the moves the Giants are trying to make on the offensive line to add the depth here, almost, I don't want to say panic mode. How are you seeing and feeling about them at this time?
About the offensive line, I would say it's fair to say that I don't share the front office's confidence in the group. Obviously, they weren't expecting for the retirements to happen. And if you think about it, the two guys, the only two guys they added in the offseason are no longer on the roster, Zach Fulton having retired and Jonathan Harrison having been cut. So they've added two young guys via a trade, which, quite frankly, you know, we can sit here and say, well, they should have done this, you know, months ago. But I'm concerned about the play of the tackles. I did not like what I saw from Andrew Thomas in the last preseason game. I did not like how, after the game, even though he came up and he owned his performance, I didn't like hearing, well, I'm still trying to get my hands and my feet and, you know, all this stuff set. Because the first thing that popped into my mind was, what the heck have you been doing all summer if you're still working on that to get it? You know, so that to me suggested that maybe there was a change in what they're asking him to do in his technique, and he's still struggling to get a comfort level there. So I'm a little bit concerned about that unit, I'm not going to lie.
Yes, no question about it. I mean, again, that was the big question going into the season. It is totally, in the preseason, has lived up to its fruition. The other, you know, kind of big question is Daniel Jones. You know, he played, I thought, very well against the Patriots, but everybody remembers the one big mistake, you know, with the interception at the goal line. What have you seen and what have you thought of his growth throughout the preseason and the practices and the games as we get ready to open up against Denver in week one?
Yeah, so that mistake that Daniel made, I'm sorry, I put that more on Evan Engram, because I think Evan Engram was supposed to sit in the route and he just continued to drift, and that's what ended up happening. So I don't really kill Daniel Jones for that one. I mean, maybe he shouldn't have thrown the ball, but that interception's on Engram as far as I'm concerned. But to answer your question, Daniel Jones has looked a lot more comfortable, I think, in this offense. It looks like he's making quicker decisions. And that's going to be the thing that I look for. And it was the same thing I looked for last year. And it was something that I looked for in his rookie season as the weeks went on. How quickly is he making decisions, especially when his first option is taken away? And is he making the right decisions? Now, we did see a couple of throws besides that interception that you sat there and you said, Daniel, what are you doing, man? But for the most part, if he can cut those down and eliminate those from his game and just, you know, we hear about how smart he is and how hard he works and how his football IQ is off the charts. Okay, I don't want to hear it anymore. Show me. I'm from Missouri. Show me.
you're spot on from that standpoint of show me, but it's also, it goes back to the offensive line. Is he going to have the chance to show us, because he could be end up on his back in a second and a half?
Well, here's what you got to understand. I know there was a story that came out about the average depth of target of the receivers when Jones was in there. But understand something, and I know because I went and I looked this up, and I actually wrote an article about it. The average quarterback last year, Tom Brady, led the league in deep throw attempts of 20 or more yards, okay? So Tom Brady averaged roughly 5.8 deep throws per game. Now, you the average quarterback maybe throws about 4 deep attempts a game. It's not as big a part of the game as people tend to make it to be. So that being said, where Daniel Jones has to hit are on those shorter to intermediate routes. And the offensive line, if they give him at least 2.5 seconds to make these throws, he should be okay. Now, in his one half of preseason action, I think he had 2.71 seconds to throw the ball. That's from drop back to, you know, attempt.
Okay.
So the protection was there. You'd like it to be a little bit more solid because obviously there were guys on the defense that were breaking through and rushing the, you know, rushing Jones and whatnot. But I think to answer your question, the offensive line, if they could hold that block for about 2.5 seconds, which they should be able to do, then I think the passing game should be able to function. I don't know how many deep passes they'll attempt, but, you know, let's start with the intermediate stuff. And, you know, if they're moving the chains short or intermediate, I mean, that's better than not moving the chains at all.
So true on that, and that was great, great and interesting facts about the length of time and his ability to throw it. And, you know, with the offensive line, talking about giving him the opportunity, you know, to do that, now here come the weapons. Are Galladay, Barkley, Rudolph, Tony, are they going to be ready? And will this 10-day frame before week one, you know, obviously it's going to be a continuing process to evolve, but will it be enough time for them to gel to put anything together in week one?
Well, I think you have to break it down by role here. For Barkley, I think he's going to be ready. If he is ready, I'm not anticipating him taking a full workload. I think if he's ready, he'll get maybe about 10 to 12 snaps would be my guess. I think Galladay will be ready. I don't think Evan Engram will be ready. He's dealing with that calf injury, so I don't feel warm and fuzzy about his chances of being in the lineup for week one. Of course, that's subject to change. I think Kyle Rudolph should be ready, but again, I don't anticipate them taking you know, a full workload. So it's going to be kind of like a patchwork type of offense as far as the skill position players are. I think you're going to see, you know, a lot of Devonta Booker at running back. You might see a lot more Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard in the passing game because, you know, these guys, remember, the Giants have been taking these guys along slowly coming off of injury. I don't fully expect them to say, okay, you know what, it's the regular season. We're going to give everybody 100% of their reps that they would normally get. I don't anticipate that. So, yeah, I think over time that gelling will happen. The biggest thing, obviously, with the receiving targets is Daniel's got to build up that chemistry with them, and I think he did some of that. I think, you know, just because we didn't report it in practice doesn't mean that they weren't off on the side throwing and catching and doing stuff like that. But it's going to take time. I'm not going to lie; it's going to take some time, but. You know, it's a 17-game season, and hopefully they get it together sooner than later.
No question. And really, the tough part is, you know, as a fan, you're excited, great. You play Sunday, and then you turn around and play Thursday. But in this situation, with the injuries and time and needing it, it's not an ideal start to the season for them from a scheduling standpoint.
No, it's not. I mean, ideally, you want to see the team start off fast. I think that's every team's goal. But it's not necessarily how you start, it's how you finish. So it's interesting because I also wrote this yesterday. I said, you know, in the past, last year, I think the Giants started out, what was it, 0-5, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
And yet they were still in it. I mean, albeit in a very weak NFC East division, but they were still in it. And at some points later on in the season, they were actually in first place. And again, I know the NFC East wasn't very good last year, but, you know, you work with what you've got. And all things considering, that team didn't fall apart. So if the Giants could go, I would say they can go at least 2-2 in the first quarter of the season. Not too bad. If they could go 3-1, which I think might be possible. I mean, I have to see it. I don't like to predict too far out, but
sure.
If they could go 3-1, that would be even better. If they start out 0-4, then, you know, I could see people starting to really get upset and nervous and whatnot. But again, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I'm not sure how good the NFC East is going to be again this year, to be honest with you. I mean, I think the only team, if I'm the Giants, I would worry about Washington because they've got a heck of a defense. Dallas, I'm not so sure with them. I know word came down that Dak Prescott's going to be ready, but I still have questions about the Dallas defense and the Eagles. I'm not really counting on, you know, to do a whole lot this year.
You know, there's been so much speculation about the offensive line, about the injuries to the weapons and Daniel Jones and his decision-making. What about on the other side of the ball, the defense? Are there any questions or concerns in that area as the season gets ready to go right around the corner?
Yeah, so on the defensive side, you know, obviously the question about Adoree Jackson and whether he's going to be able to go, that's a question mark right now. I don't have a good feel on that one, so I can't say yes or no like I do with the other guys. But here's the other thing that's going to be interesting. Last year, the Giants were able to generate 40 sacks based off the scheme. They didn't really have a blue goose pass rusher. The closest they had was Leonard Williams, who had 11.5 sacks. Well, now the entire league has had a whole opportunity, a whole offseason, to break down the various things Patrick Graham does. So at this point, if you're the Giants defense, you say, okay, yeah, we want to still try and generate a pass rush by our scheme, but we also need individuals to step up. So who's going to step up and provide that rush? Is it going to be, you know, Williams again, who's probably going to draw double and triple teams, I would think, this year? Is it going to be Lorenzo Carter? Is it going to be Azeez Ojulari? I think the two edge guys are the ones you really need to focus on and hope that they break through and can provide somewhat of a pressure, you know, assuming the guys up front can get their jobs done. Because, you know, like I said, I think the rest of the league had an opportunity to kind of catch up with what Graham was running and how he was deploying his different guys and maybe come up with some solutions to counteract what he does.
And one last question for you, Patricia. You know, you were talking about how we don't want to predict too far out into the season. Week 4, the Giants having to go to New Orleans with the unfortunate circumstance with weather and stuff like that, and the Saints already having to move Week 1. Any talk about that game potentially having to be moved, or do you foresee it being the opener for the Saints down there against the Giants?
I think it's going to be too close to call down there. First off, you know, to everybody who got hammered by Ida, and I know we got hammered down here in New Jersey. We had unprecedented rain. I mean, it was ridiculous. 12 inches of rain, I think we had. We had flooding and just really crazy. But as far as the game down in New Orleans, I would be surprised if the Giants and the Saints play in the Superdome. I mean, obviously, the priority of the efforts have to be on, you know, providing the citizens down there a safe place if they need it, you know, shelter if they've been flooded out, and just taking care of the people down there. You know, football and sports, that's secondary in situations like this. So that said, we haven't heard anything about the game potentially being on the move. There is a possibility, though, because I believe Sean Payton, in comments to the New Orleans Saints media, said something about they're looking at potentially having to move their first 4 games out of the New Orleans area. So the Giants play the Saints in Week 4.
Right.
You know, the logical conclusion is that game's going to be on the move. Now, is it going to be in Dallas? Is it going to be somewhere else? I don't know. I don't think, you know, they've gotten that far yet. Probably in the next week or so, we'll have an idea where that game might be played.
Well, Patricia, that's why we love having you on the phone and as a guest with us, and we appreciate you joining us, and we hope to have you again here soon, and I look forward to seeing your coverage of Week 1 for the Giants. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you.